And good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Wednesday, August 26th, 2015. I'm Emily Kwong, and I am joined by Sarah Gibson. She is a Sitka fellow, a writer, a musician. She's many things, a woman of many talents. How are you doing this morning,
Sarah? I'm good. I'm very good. How are you?
And you wanted to share one quick song with listeners. We've been doing music swaps occasionally.
Excellent.
And since you are a musician, what did you want to share?
So I think we're going to play you a little bit of Fall on My Knees, which is an old-time tune, fiddle and banjo tune. Tommy Jarrell and Fred are playing this. Mm-hmm. They're from North Carolina.
Okay.
And it's a great tune to dance to, so we can tell you a little bit more about square dancing later on.
Yeah, we could talk about square dancing while it plays.
We could. Yeah, it'd be a great background for that.
Oh, so did you grow up with this kind of music?
I grew up square dancing, and yeah, I grew up with folk music of various types. Not necessarily old-time music from the Southeast. That's something I got more interested in when I was 18 or 19. I interned with a media arts center in Appalachia with a great community radio station that reminds me sort of KCAW. It was called Apple Shop, and that's where I met a lot of banjo players and fiddlers and square dance callers, and started learning more of that particular tradition.
And you are calling a square dance in Sitka this week.
I am.
So what's that all about?
It'll be some revelry at 9 p.m., starting at 9 p.m. at the Larkspur, just downstairs. We're going to move all the tables and chairs and have an old-time Southern-style square dance. So I think a lot of folks here are used to contra dancing. It's similar, but we'll be dancing in the formation of squares. I'll call the dances, so you can come without knowing ever how to have promenaded or allemanded, and we'll do a little lesson at 9. And then at 9:30, we'll have a dance for a little more than an hour. And it's going to feature the fiddling of Tom Crane and music from the Pioneer Mountain String Boys. String Band, Pioneer Mountain String Band. I actually don't remember the name, but a great group of Sitkins will be playing live music.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to that.
Personally. It'll be really fun.
So, Sarah, you are based in North Carolina, but where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small town called Shrewsbury in Vermont. My parents are from the South, but they moved to Vermont before they had kids. And yeah, little town, probably 1,500 people, just in the middle of the Green Mountains. It was really beautiful, small, tight-knit community.
Okay. And how would you describe the work that you're doing right now in North Carolina? What has kind of become your focus?
I would say documentary work, focusing on North Carolina tradition bearers, be they musicians, ballad singers, storytellers, or craftspeople. Who either grew up in or have learned and intensely focused on some form of tradition that is regional. So before I got here, I had a fair amount of archival material, interviews and archives from blues musicians, ballad singers and storytellers, and other folks who are artists in various ways in North Carolina. Particularly focused on sort of old ways of, I would say, being rooted in their community via storytelling or crafts.
Okay, and you brought that innate sensibility to Sitka. You've been interviewing some tradition bearers in the community. Sarah has a recurring feature on Mondays called Sitka Spotlights. And how did it translate, the work you were doing in North Carolina, suddenly doing it in Southeast, being surrounded by Southeast music, Southeast tradition, mm-hmm. Southeast art?
I think I'm maybe too curious. I just, whenever I'm in a new place, I want to ask a lot of questions. And the lucky thing is that if you, have any kind of role as a documentarian, you're sort of given a little bit more license to ask people a lot of questions about what they do and why they do it. So yeah, I think it was pretty analogous to my work in North Carolina, just hearing about various characters and folks who are really amazing artists here, and artists, but also people who just have a real impact in their community. and care about some form of tradition or the work that they do and teaching it and sharing it with others. So it felt pretty natural just to sort of seek out those people, spend some time with them.
Who have you interviewed so far?
I've interviewed a number of people, I would say, in terms of who will be on Sitka Spotlights right now. There's a piece on Hank Moore, guitarist, cab driver, musician extraordinaire, that's already aired. And then also Mark Sixby, who's a really amazing wood carver.
And you can find all these stories on our website, kcaw.org. Our program director created a logo even for your program.
Actually,
a little image.
Oh, that was by Mona Ring.
That was made by Mona Ring.
The illustrators with the Sitka Fellows program.
How did having the fellows surrounding you enhance your work? Because something that is built into the fellowship is the support of the other people who aren't usually in your discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Did it in other than designing the logo for your show, mm-hmm. In a general sense? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just, I think that sometimes doing any form of artistic work can be lonely. And even if you're doing documentary work or engaging in folk traditions, which are really about community and spending time with people, there's a way in which it's a sometimes a lonely path, or you're just spending a lot of time with your own material. So we all sort of would dig into the work we were doing during the day, but had tons of fun meeting members of the Sitka community and also just hanging out with each other, going on outdoor adventures. I think coming back around to a default group mode in meals and in outdoor adventures felt really good, in contrast sometimes to the work that we do in solitude.
Yeah. I was wondering too, you were discussing that you've done documentary work in Appalachia, and you've also recorded ancient folk songs in the Republic of Georgia, and you've interviewed sharecroppers and migrant workers on your family farm in Kentucky, and you've done a lot of reporting. I would call it reporting. You might call it something documentary in rural places. And I'm wondering what mainstream media gets wrong about rural America or rural places in general. When you hear stories that come out of Appalachia or even from Vermont or Kentucky, what is missing that as someone who spent time in these places you see?
That's a good question. I think it really depends on the place, because there are caricatures of different places that are popular in media. So Appalachia has a really particular character that people, that is a really particular myth around it. And I think most rural places do. They're sort of, I guess the word would be essentialized, in the sense that people forget there's a lot of diverse cultures in rural places. So like there are counties in North Carolina, for instance, that are some of the most racially diverse places in rural or suburban America, that have a lot of rich cultures that have been there for many generations. And people, I think, have stereotypes of what rural North Carolina looks like. And I think I've just always had a lot of solidarity with rural places, because I grew up in one, and a sense that there's sort of one character or one voice that emerges from a whole region as the authentic one, and that sort of flattens what the character and the personality of that place. And I think also the ways in which tradition or sort of old-timey ways are also celebrated by or participated in by younger people. There's often like one old dude who's the storyteller from a region. But the truth is, like, there are younger people learning from that person and innovating on that tradition. So I tried to do some interviewing of younger folks as well when I was in North Carolina, because that seems like an important part of the story.
Your workshop coming up tomorrow is all about documenting folk traditions. Can you talk a little bit about where it is, what time,
sure,
and what's involved?
Yeah. It is at 7 p.m. in Fraser Hall, which is on the Sheldon Jackson campus. And we'll have a big sign for you all so you don't get lost. And it'll be for about an hour and a half. I'll spend a little bit of time just sort of doing like an oral history documentary 101. I'll have a list of resources that people can go online to learn more about this kind of work and how they can do it themselves. But the real point of the workshop is for people who've been wanting to do an interview with a neighbor or a family member or someone in their community, are curious about how that gets on radio, how it gets archived. for them to get some basic skills, know about some basic tools, and then actually practice with one another. So I'm encouraging people to bring someone who you want to interview, or you can come alone and we'll find you someone to pair up with for the second half to do to practice some of those interviewing skills.
Excellent. Now, Solomon Endlich, Fellows Coordinator, do you know who you're going to interview for this workshop? Are you going to go?
Well, I'm absolutely going to go.
He's spotlight. Required.
Yeah, exactly. But I had some ideas, but one difficult part about the summer is that a lot of people are fishing, especially when the weather's nice. So we'll see who I can gather.
And the fellows have all, not all scattered to the winds, but people will be soon.
Yes.
So what was that like when you remember this, when you were a fellow last year? What is the after fellow experience like? What can these fellows expect after they leave Sitka and kind of, you know, carry on this work without the support of each other? What have you found is helpful in that?
Ooh, it's a hard experience. I mean, I think it was a hard experience for me even, just because, maybe for me actually in particular, because it just is so, you have this really strong bond, and that bond is still there, but you don't get the day-to-day affirmation. I mean, being able to come back to the Sheldon Jackson campus in Whitmore and having essentially these amazing peers is sort of unrivaled. So I think almost coping with that is the hardest part, but those people are still there in my life, and this generation as well. So it's a permanent support group. Yeah.
And I hear you're already planning a reunion. These
precisely.
Several.
They will not be in places with as much delicious salmon, but
places
do?
A little closer to home.
Yeah, where we'll be. Yeah.
Well, congratulations for taking this fellowship, you know, nearly across the finish line. And Sarah, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, you're
today.
Welcome.
You have been listening to the voices of Solomon Endlich, who's the facilitator for the Sitka Fellows, and Sarah Gibson, the last fellow to come in. Da da da. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.